Hello and welcome back to a Bible reading devotion. My name is Pastor Freddie and I am the Associate Pastor of Hillside Baptist Church. And we are going through this entire year deep diving into individual chapters throughout the week, knocking out chapters of the New Testament during the year so that way you can engage with the text and read along with us as well as find these wonderful applications within the text to take with us in our Christian faith and help us walk closer with God. So this morning we're going to be going into Acts chapter 1. So let's go. All right, here we are back with it. Now we're diving into Acts chapter 1. I know we've been going through Acts as a church, and that it's been quite a while. I think we've been in Acts for a little bit over 2 years, and as we're coming to the culmination of ending our series in Acts, here we are at the beginning of Acts once again. We're going to dive into chapter 1. But as we're coming towards an end, I hope that going through Acts has been a blessing to you. I know it has for Pastor Blake and myself and to many others who have talked about it, but Acts has just been an incredible, incredible journey. So we're going to be going through the book of Acts. Pastor Blake has allowed me the opportunity to kind of jump in on the Bible reading devotions. And so I'll be doing Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 this week. So here we go. Here we go. Acts chapter 1. All right. So what's going on? We've just had the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts opens up with Luke declaring what this purpose is, like what is going on with the book of Acts, what it is. So he addresses his buddy, his friend Theophilus, just like in the Gospel of Luke. He writes all these things down that may attest to Theophilus that he knows, that he can understand and see through the works that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he is the Lord. And so here we are in Acts chapter 1. Again, Luke is writing the book of Acts, and he's writing it to his friend Theophilus. And so what does Luke start everything with? What does Luke engage with right up front in the first chapter? Well, we can see in verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, Luke is telling us what happened after the resurrection, that Christ had appeared to many, had appeared to a large group of people to showcase and display the glory of the resurrection, but not just to display it, but to showcase many proofs. That there's many proofs that his resurrection historically happened. And we do have accounts of such things in historical writings, and we can give accounts based upon the writings of the apostles, the early church fathers, the early patristic period. A lot of that attests to that which has been witnessed by a lot of these disciples and these apostles. And so during that time, during the time of the resurrection, there was about a 40-day period that was whenever Christ resurrected from the dead and before his ascension, that he bared witness of his resurrection, that he presented himself after suffering with many proofs. And he had an ambition in mind. He spoke about the kingdom of God. So here we are at the beginning of Acts, the introduction that Luke is writing regarding the Acts of the Apostles to Theophilus. And he initiates that the ending of the Gospel of Luke is not the end. The resurrection is not the end here. So we're going to be continuing to see the works of Christ in his church through the Acts of the Apostles. And so let's draw our attention next to what Christ told them to do, how they engaged him, because the apostles and the disciples at that time were like, all right, now what? I mean, you've spent 40 days with us showcasing your resurrection, teaching us about the kingdom of God, but so now what? So Christ encouraged them. Verse 4, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He was encouraging them, now is not the time to disperse. Now is not the time to just get settled in or go about your merry way, because there is the promise coming. You remember in John, I told you about the Holy Spirit, the Counselor who is coming, that it is to your benefit that I go away, that the Counselor may come, that the Holy Spirit may come. And this is the promise of the Father, that you will be given the Holy Spirit. And he says it right here in verse 4. when you heard from me, verse 5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he is letting them know this promise of the Father is coming. So just stay here in Jerusalem. And we continue on in verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So what is in this question? Why is Luke sitting here letting us know that this was the question that they were asking? Because now that Christ has showcased himself in glory, has been displayed in glory in the resurrection, they're like, all right, you know, we understand that the servant had to suffer, Isaiah 53. We knew that he was going to restore his people, that he is the Messianic King. Now is the time that you're going to charge up and take over Rome? Is that the time? Listen to Jesus' response. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed in his own authority. So what is Jesus saying here to the disciples? Hey guys, listen, I know that you're looking forward to this kingdom, the culmination of all of the advent of Christ, that his return, the kingdom return, the doing away of evil, that the kingdom of God will be established on the earth for all eternity. I know you're looking forward to this, but there's something that you need to do. There's something that you need to do. This is not for you to try to determine, like, all right, when's he coming? So that way we can figure out how much time we have left. That is not what's being driven home here. Christ is saying, no, there's another mission that you need to be focusing. There's another focus by which your hearts need to be determined and set upon. Yes, it is good to look forward to the kingdom of heaven to come, but there's an even more pressing issue. It should be the motivation of your anticipation of the kingdom that should drive you to verse 8. Listen to verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What is Christ saying here? What is Christ saying here? Hey guys, this kingdom is bigger than Israel. This kingdom, this culmination of this kingdom, this messianic kingdom, is bigger than just one small nation in Palestine. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's not only is going to be encompassed by Jerusalem, but also by Judea to the south, Samaria to the north, and to the end of the earth. This kingdom is earth-wide. This kingdom is all tongues, all nations, all people groups, not just one particular nation. Not just one particular nation. But before they can engage, before we see in chapter 2 the time of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, there was an issue. There was an issue. There was one who was not in the place of apostleship. There was only 11. There's only 11 there. And so, before the day of Pentecost, we are given a narrative that the disciples and the apostles all met together. They all discuss these things and say, hey, we must establish this 12th spot. Verse 17, for he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry. Do you understand here that Judas was a part of the ministry, that he engaged in the ministry, that he was a part of the casting out of the demons, and he was a part of sharing about the kingdom of Christ, that he was there, engaged with that. So he was a part of that. He was numbered among them. Verse 18, now this man acquired a field with the reward of the wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all the bowels gushed out, and it became known as the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called on their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. So why is this particular verse? Why did Luke include this in here? Why is this pertinent information? Well, this particular event, the necessity of filling that 12th spot was foretold in the book of Psalms. Look, verse 20, for it was written in the book of Psalms, and this comes from Psalm 69, verse 25, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. So there's particular language saying that this burial here for Judas became the field of blood. It was one that it was one of blood of vengeance. It was a place that you should go. It's a no-go. You shouldn't be around there because it is condemned. And so this was specifically spoken about. Continuing on in verse 20, and let another take his office. Let another take his office. And so what did the disciples do? Well, they prayed. They spent time in prayer, and they put forward two people, Joseph called Barsabbas, and the other Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, O you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and apostleship for which Judas turned aside to go his own place, to go to his own place. And then they cast lots for him. Now, hey guys, I'm not sitting here saying that this is the best idea, that whenever you're trying to determine the will of God, to grab a pair of dice and be like, all right, do we need to move to another country? Let's roll the dice. Casting lots was to help to determine decisions made, specifically very finite decisions, not open-ended decisions, things like that. So they cast lots to help aid in understanding the direction of the Lord was going to go. So this was a way for them to determine and make decisions without showing any case of favoritism, and allowed fate to play its course. And so the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. He was numbered with the 11. So the 12 has come back around. So a few things about this first chapter. I mean, it's a great opening. Luke is kind of showcasing what has happened right after the resurrection. He's writing to Theophilus. There we go. He's writing to Theophilus saying, hey, the works of Christ are still continuing and I'm still writing about it. But now the acts of Christ is through his apostles. And let me show you how. Let me show you the introduction to this, that he spent 40 days with the disciples giving many proofs, okay? So this first chapter, wonderful events. Intro showcases the ascension of the Lord, what the Lord said in the midst of this ascension, what was the catalyst by which the Acts of the Apostles are going to be engaged. So the question was, hey, are you going to now return, you know, restore the kingdom to Israel? Christ said, no, this kingdom's much bigger than that. And then lastly, they fulfilled a role found in the loss of Judas, that Matthias was counted among the 12, among the 11, and became the 12. So three elements. There's three particular portions of the text here that we can draw from this to help build on our faith and understanding of the Acts chapter 1. One is faith made sight. Faith made sight. So during this time of the resurrection, Christ preached, and there was eyewitness accounts regarding his resurrection and many proofs. So there was a large number of people by which that was witnessing the resurrection Christ. So their faith was made sight. They held on that the Christ would be resurrected, and he showed himself. And so their faith was made sight, and the faithfulness in the waiting. So The apostles thought and sought after that the kingdom would be restored immediately. But the Lord was letting them know, no, there's a greater mission here. Okay, and this is what introduces the whole book of Acts. There's a greater mission here by which I'm going to be engaging with you on. You're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and be my witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. Okay? So faithfulness and waiting. He said, don't leave Jerusalem yet, but receive the promise from the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. Do not depart yet. So faithfulness and waiting. Number two, this kingdom is bigger than a small nation in Palestine. The introduction to Acts by Luke is not simply showcasing, simply accounting for what Jesus Christ said, but was displaying the catalyst by which the whole book of Acts is predicated on. He is sitting there saying that the kingdom is bigger than just the nation of Israel. This is a worldwide kingdom. This is a kingdom to every tongue and every nation and every people group across the whole globe. And you guys are going to be the ones to bear witness to that. But not only that, I will be with you. The promise of God, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you, that will give you the authority and the ability and the foresight and knowledge and to be my witness, that my kingdom, the kingdom of God that I've declared while I was alive on the earth, is continuing on, that it'll start in Jerusalem and just spread out like a wildfire, spread out across the entire world, and you are going to be the ones that start it all, that start it all. And number three, the replacement of Judas, the replacement of Judas. Now, what's quite intriguing is the two texts of Psalms, the two texts of Psalms that describe both Judas's state in his death, that his burial place should be condemned and that no one should go there. But it also describes, it quotes from Psalm 109 verse 8, let another take his office. Now, I would like to read to you the first eight verses of Psalm 109 that led to the conclusion of this quote, "May another take his office." Listen, "Be not silent, O God of my praise." This is a psalm by David. "For wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate, and they attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. So they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man against him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few, and may another take his office." So here we are in Acts chapter 1. There's a quote by Psalm 109, and that's an imprecatory psalm. So an imprecatory psalm is a psalm of despair, a psalm crying out to God that he would be the vengeance by which, that he would be the acting agent of vengeance upon the enemies that come against David. And here we are having that phrase, "May another take his office," or "Let another take his office," being quoted out of the imprecatory psalms. Do you not agree that those verses align to the character and the actions of Judas Iscariot? That Psalm 109, verses 1 through 8, builds on the identity of Judas Iscariot. And then at the very end of that character case, "Let another take his office." This is why we see the fulfillment of Scripture. This is why they sit there and say that it was necessary for the fulfillment of Scripture to replace Judas. And that is why Matthias is counted among the 11. So, the three things. One, faith made sight and faithfulness in the waiting. Number two, the kingdom is bigger than a small nation in Palestine. And number three, the wicked man and the replacement. This was foretold through David in the Psalms. I pray that this time of devotion of Acts chapter 1 was a blessing to you. And may the Lord's word dig deep into our hearts and deep into our minds, that we may recall them, that they bear fruit in our lives. In the moments whenever we need to ask ourselves, how big is this kingdom? What is my purpose here on earth? Why is it that I've been gifted salvation? And why I've been filled with the Holy Spirit? You have been called to be a witness for Christ in all the world, because the mission is still on. The mission is number one. Until the time that the Father has established will come and the kingdom will culminate on earth once again. But in the meantime, let us go call to those kingdom citizens, bear witness of the gospel of Christ, that those who may have been invited and accounted among them can come and be a part of this kingdom. Amen.